This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with David Livingston, Dr. Space himself from The Space Show. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N, and we're headed to Mars. We welcome the distinguished author of books about the moon and the future of colonies on other planets, Chaim Ben-Arroya, professor of mechanical and aerospace engineering at Rutgers University. His most recent book is highly suggestive, Building Habitats on the Moon, Engineering Approaches to Lunar Settlements. I've asked the professor today to help us understand what he is picturing Mars settlement will look like, taking these same skill sets and recommendations of the moon's environment and projecting them out several million miles with the power of Starship and Super Heavy. They can lift 100 tons into orbit, says Musk. So beyond that, I can't account for. But I know that Mars, with the revelations by especially the rovers Curiosity and Perseverance, is looking like a lot friendlier environment than the surface of the moon. Professor, a very good evening to you. Thank you for joining us. The news has been Mars, Mars, Mars from Musk, and it's beginning to look real that he's going to test into orbit Starship on top of Super Heavy. Certainly, you've imagined what a Mars colony would look like with these wonderful pictures we get back from the surface of Mars as both Curiosity and Perseverance continue in their missions. Is Mars a friendlier environment than the moon, or does it offer the same challenges? Good evening, Professor.
Good evening, John. It's great to be here. Mars and the moon offer similar challenges to humans initially, whereas the moon has the advantage of being closer to Earth. Mars has the potential of eventually being more habitable because it has a small atmosphere as compared to the moon. Many of the elements on Mars are similar to those on the moon. It has additionally iron, which the moon doesn't, but it does have silicon, oxygen, magnesium, many of the elements that we need to create an infrastructure, in particular for 3D printing. Eventually, we're going to have to be building autonomously on the moon and on Mars. So the more elements that we have on site, the easier it will be for us.
I mentioned right away the ice. The ice seems to be everywhere, at the equator, at the poles. Certainly, that's a boost over the moon. There's water.
Definitely, the quantities of water are much larger, and therefore the oxygen, the hydrogen, the water is critical for us. So in that respect, Mars is much more beneficial for human habitation.
David?
Chaim, where would you need more shielding if you were going to build a surface habitat, the moon or the Mars, or is it about the same?
Comparatively, it's the same, but theoretically, since Mars is further away from the sun, solar radiation would be less on Mars. However, a galactic radiation, which is from the radiation from all of the universe, would be essentially the same. So we would have the same radiation challenges. The other challenge would be the use of solar power, because again, Mars is so much further away from the sun than the Earth, solar power would be diminished. Although, in my view, the best source of power both on the moon and Mars would be nuclear power.
We've speculated about Mars and the lava tubes, so-called, around the volcanoes. The largest volcano in the solar system is on Mars. Lava tubes create natural caves underneath the Martian surface. That is the recommendation or the suggestion or the imagination for building cities. Is that imaginable, Professor?
It is, really. Lava tubes have been discovered on the moon, and they must exist on Mars as they do on Earth. And so eventually, by building underground, one would basically negate all the or almost all of the negative environmental effects that one would see: radiation, extremes in temperatures, micrometeorites. All of that can be negated by just being a few tens of feet under the ground.
And it is a planet. I mean, there's a big advantage. Let me mention one more thing about these lava tubes. It looks like there are hundreds of them, thousands of them. So, at this point, your presentation for building habitats on the moon considers construction material on the surface of the moon. If you were underneath the ground, underground, That would lighten the burden of construction, wouldn't it? Could you seal up a lava tube? Can you imagine that? And then create oxygen inside of it?
Yes, that's a very good point. There is technology already on Earth for sealing tunnels. Now, the lava tubes are bigger than the tunnels we build on Earth, but the technology could be developed so that a lava tube, maybe a few miles long, could be sealed to a scale where we could actually seal it off, pressurize it, and then build normal structures in the lava tubes rather than structures that we pressurize.
David?
There has been some speculation that going to Mars in a starship, crew could live in the starship and it would be as good as any kind of surface or underground habitat. What are your thoughts on living in a vehicle like that?
Certainly, initially that would work and probably make sense as an initial habitat. Starship can land vertically and one can have multi-stories. I think eventually, though, we definitely have to build habitats for people that are more Earth-like in the sense of space, open vistas. On the moon, we're also talking about pressure vessels, much like a rocket ship. And those are going to be our first habitats, whether on the moon or Mars. But we all know that second generation, third generation habitats would have to be more Earth-like for human psychology, for just a successful civilization beyond the pioneering stage.
Mars has gravity, 3/8 of our gravity, I believe you've told me. There's plenty of evidence that the body deteriorates when in Earth orbit without gravity in zero G. Does the gravity on Mars compensate for that?
The damage would be slower because of the larger gravity on Mars. It's still an open question whether the human body can survive in any other than 1G. Medical scientists believe that we may have to go through gene therapy to adapt our bodies genetically to particular gravity fields. But certainly the fact that Mars has a gravity field about double that the moon does would slow down some of that deterioration.
David?
Plausible timelines for getting humans to Mars, given where we are today. What do you think?
Well, I always work Mars off of the moon. So if I believe that we'll have people on the moon by 2030, just to be conservative, as a first habitat, I would say at least 5 years on the moon before we build an infrastructure that we're confident with reliable systems to go another year to Mars. So as a conservative estimate, I would say no earlier than 2035, and that's pretty fast, I think. I think more realistically, we might need more time than we expect on the moon to build some of those technologies. And my biggest concern, besides human physiology, is also just the reliability of our engineered systems. Because on the moon, we can rescue people. We're only 3 days away. Once we have a settlement on Mars, we're basically 9 months to a year away, and there's no rescue possible. So we better make sure that we can repair and that our systems are very reliable on Mars.
What do we know about the soil of Mars?
The soil has some similarities to the lunar soil. It has some of the main elements like silicon, magnesium, hydrogen, oxygen, but it does have iron. That's the red color that we see. So the fact that there are those elements means that once we can develop the 3D printing technologies with all the infrastructure, we can actually mine the lunar, the Martian soil and build structures and get all the elements.
Can we grow in it?
Potentially. We know that that there are some plants that have been grown in lunar soil. Probably there are plants that we can adapt for Martian soil as well.
And in growing in it, that would suggest that we can stay there, or is that unimaginable to permanently settle Mars when you grow up on Earth?
My belief is that we can eventually be permanent on the moon and Mars and beyond. The main question is the time scale. So it'll be a matter of decades, I think, before we have people permanently on Mars where they can be self-sufficient or almost self-sufficient.
David?
Do you have a preferred part of Mars where you would like to see humans go first?
I would say probably around the equator. Or I know that there was a great image of what is it called? It's Korolev Crater on Mars. A photograph from Mars Express. It shows a crater with full of water ice, about a mile deep. So I would say that we would want to go and place habitats near some of these craters that are full of water ice. So we have a direct resource that we need, which, of course, water is the primary one.
Building Habitats on the Moon is the professor's book, Engineering Approaches to Lunar Settlements. Chaim Ben Arroyo is a professor of mechanical and aerospace engineering at Rutgers University. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. This is Hotel Mars, looking to build Hotel Mars. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.